We're all out of Schwarzmess because I drank it all because I'm a glutton.
That's okay. We only had like 10 bottles.
Mike.
Only 10 bottles.
Well, and also we've been drinking it for a month, so.
This is a good point.
You know, didn't you do that show with like different levels of hell or something like that?
I kind of did, yes.
Okay.
I don't know which
That's
one.
That's how
was
I feel right now. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex.
Yay.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And with our special guests,
David.
And Kirsten.
Also known as Cap'n Kirk.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
That's better.
How did we never make this? Okay, because we've been calling ourselves Caps Lock.
Because I do Captain Marvel, he's Captain America.
No, Cap'n Kirk is way better.
All caps, cruise control for cool.
And I gotta say, I wish I could take credit for that, but unfortunately that comes from James from the Awful Copter podcast.
Ugh.
Oh, James.
Also wonderful.
What the fuck? But, you're amazing, dude. I love you. But what the
But Cap'n Kirk is pleased me very much.
Absolutely.
Now I need a shot.
So yes, Captain America. David is Captain America, in case the people
and,
are
And Kirsten
not
is Kirky.
It.
Yes.
Indeed.
And they have booze.
Yeah, we brought booze.
Which we should get to.
Aw, yeah.
I like booze.
So you want me to... I'll start with the hard before we go to the soft. The hard is rock and rye, slow and low, straight rye whiskey. And I just did that in the best radio voice I think I've ever done.
As we are packing up our things and trying to decide
so why
what we're
is
taking
there no
with us.
Glass in front of
and, oh, ha-ha. Pour your own.
Yeah, but he is
I'm in the bartender
seat.
I forgot. There's
the, I am in the recording seat. He is in the bartender seat, and Jenna is Jenna.
I'm Jenna.
Does Where? This seat?
I'm Jenna.
You're the guest seat.
You. Oh, it's
the,
huh? Sweet.
There we go.
I only have the one pillow, and that's mostly for my sister.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Excellent.
So we have a glass in front of us, and I'm going to take a drink of this now.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Ooh, it smells very caramely.
Mm. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes.
That is super fucking good.
That tastes of tangerine, I think. Yeah. I don't know exactly, but it tastes fucking citrusy to me.
It's definitely.
I was not expecting to like that, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Me neither.
Rise and me have not had a good...
I think...
We have had a storied past.
Well, I think this is the only one we've had.
Rye have a tendency to come across as like a bad earthy as opposed to a good earthy to me. But the citrus in this really just makes that kind of pop and makes it good.
Yeah, that's a bit of all right.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see, what was this again? Slow and low.
Yeah.
But as we're packing up all of our things and getting ready to move, we're kind of making a decision on what alcohols we want to take, what we want to finish, what we want to give away.
We should clarify for our listeners. Cap and Kirk are moving to Seattle in less than a week here.
5 days.
Sunday,
well, four and a half days now.
Sunday.
Fuck,
Sunday,
you're scaring
Sunday.
Me.
Yeah.
It's the end of the Renaissance Festival season has occurred, and they are off to greener and probably wetter pastures.
It's like the stoners are flying west for the winter.
Nice.
So that is why they are packing up. So continue.
Oh, I mean, obviously, we don't have room for all this homebrew we
I'll
made.
I'll take it.
I guess you're going to have to.
You can't just give it away. Jesus.
I was thinking we're all going to drink
this. Give it away.
You can.
Yeah. So now moving on to the soft. Because we're dorks.
Yeah.
Right.
Surprise.
Thank you. Just so that we're past that. Because we're dorks, and because of our characters at the Renaissance Festival, I play a German Landsknecht mercenary. And
I play the Irish gravedigger.
Yep. We decided to brew character-specific beers.
Wow.
Nerds.
We have reached, like, the new circle of nerddom.
Whatever. It was delicious. I have no regrets.
No.
Good Lord, no. No regrets at
Not
all.
Not a single regret.
So, what we have... I drank all mine.
Is that, like, a meme or something?
I think probably. It came from like the bad tattoos, like a guy who got tattooed between his shoulder blades, no regerts.
Oh, is that really where it comes from?
I think that's where I remember seeing that. Yeah.
That's cool.
It must be it.
So
whenever people say things weird, it's probably a meme that I haven't seen.
That is very true.
God, you're old.
So David made a Dunkelweiss, that's what it was. You called it your Schwarzmesser Dunkelweiss.
Yes.
German is terrifying and confusing.
Get it? Because yes. I wield a Messer at festival, and it's black, so I'm creative.
Why has it got to be black?
Racist.
Oh, wait.
And then I had a Irish Red that I called Banshee's Tears because I'm goth. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She even spelled it the old Gaelic way,
you
too.
You look so perky for a goth.
No, you should have seen me in high school. It was shameful.
Well, I think all of us in high school were pretty shameful.
Yo.
And then, I was a good little Christian.
Oh. We wanted to enter the homebrew contest at Fest, and we'll probably actually look more seriously into that next year.
Yeah.
So we tried brewing a Nutella oatmeal stout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh. And it did not turn out Nutella-y at all, but it tastes like a delicious coffee.
Based on my conversation with you, it sounds like it didn't have any hazelnut in it.
No.
Well, yeah. The stores that we were looking at were all out of hazelnut.
Extract,
and, like, the next restock day would have put us, like...
A little too far down.
Yeah, the, drinking day would have been too close to leaving day. So.
Drinking day is my favorite day.
It is. So, yes, we got two of the Irish Red.
I do, by the way, encourage you 100% to enter competitions because I learned so much about how to improve my cider by starting to do competitions and getting the feedback from the judges and stuff like that. It's suddenly you just go, oh, a professional is telling me what I can do to make this better. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Your pepper cider... Oh, God, I don't want to say anything good about it. I don't want to blow up his ego, but it was really fucking
there
tasty.
There is no chance of that happening.
Gotcha.
Well, God, not after the latest awards ceremony.
The double award winner to my right.
Is it, is it embarrassing for you to be the only non-nominee or a winner?
Yeah, no, you know what? My daughter was nominated for late
That's
bloomer,
true.
So,
that's true.
You know.
How does it feel to begin every conversation now?
Also,
unzipping
out of the group.
Flopping it out on the table.
Out of the group. I was the first one to get a unicorn.
Oh,
so
I would 100% believe it.
We'll back up and explain this in a little bit here. But I actually, after a conversation with Matt, I did change my work Skype handle to the award-winning Brainstorm.
Oh, God. So listeners.
And the two other people at work that work at the Renaissance Festival were like,
God damn it.
I was milking it all day at work today. I work at a kitchen, and so I'm sorry, I have to go wash my award-winning hands. Guys, this is an award-winning salad, except for the croutons, because Dalton put the croutons on it.
So I feel like we should get the listeners caught up as to whatever the
All right,
what
well,
you mean
is.
Things happened this weekend? What things could have possibly happened
I'm
this
still
weekend.
Waiting for my beer here.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like the stout or the Irish red?
Yes.
Pour me a drink
Jesus
while Jenna
Christ.
Talks.
Here we go.
Okay, so this weekend was the final weekend of the 2016 season for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
I just opened it. That's all I did. I have the bad touch when it comes to beer. Here.
Okay, as happens every year, the final weekend hosts the award ceremony where various entertainers are up for and receive awards under various categories. There is... there's the best new rookie, the best new person of the year. There's the most improved person. There's the best
stage act.
Best stage act, best new group, best street performer.
Most improved.
I already said most improved.
I wasn't listening to you.
There's also
Everyone's
the Unicorn Award.
Yeah.
If we can. There's also the Unicorn Award, which is basically the Festival Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's tenure.
Yeah.
It's basically Fest saying you the real MVP.
Everybody currently on the podcast except for me was nominated for at least something.
That's right. I did get nominated.
You did.
Yeah, well, you and my daughter were both nominated for Late Bloomer.
So. Yeah, that's right. Surrogate high five to your daughter.
There we go. I'll take it for her. Late Bloomer would be the most improved. Mm-hmm. Trailer was running against a 16-year-old.
But
other people.
She's been working out there for how long?
It was her third year under entertainment contract.
Right.
I think
right.
she's been working out there since before she was
Cinderella,
born.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's fair to say. Yeah.
Kirsten was in a group called Wise Fools Improv with Matt, and they were nominated for Best Stage Act.
I'm sorry, you just said nominated. What you should say was that
you're going to spoil the ending.
So they were nominated.
They were nominated for an award. Along with Matt, but fuck that guy. We're not going to talk about him.
Yeah, fuck Matt.
But wait, other favorites such as Eric Thompson.
Beefcake and Olive.
Yep. Mistress Q.
Mistress Q.
Fromage.
Nate, my evil partner, Nate.
Yep.
But anyway, a bunch of really funny people there. And they were nominated for Best Stage Act, and David was nominated for Most Improved, and I was nominated for Best New Act with my Sword Swallowing. And Jenna,
her daughter, was
a belly dancer.
Yeah. And, honey, I got all the pictures taken of me. I'm good.
Awards night came, and David unfortunately did not take home anything, but he still rocked it out of the park.
If I would have strapped on some stilts, maybe I would have. Good.
Yeah, to be fair, the woman who won.
Oh my God.
She totally did deserve it, and I am not disputing that whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it was really, it felt really awesome to be nominated all the same.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, is the nomination is the actual honor, the win is
cherry on top.
Popularity.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
I'm just saying, nudging your heart out of the way
is at least
that big a deal.
One part popularity, one part. Actual skill.
Yeah.
Like there is a balance that is found in there.
Absolutely.
David has neither, so.
The truth hurts, Jenna.
On the other hand, Kirsten and the Wise Fools did win Best Sage Act.
Yes, you did.
Which was very unexected considering who we were up against.
Oh my God.
You guys Danger Committee. You beat Danger Committee.
Yeah, you guys were right. There you go. Award winning against the Danger Committee.
Right.
Take that.
Well. Yeah. Although there are some groups, and this is not meant to disparage any groups at all, because heavens know the Danger Committee does a lot more work than we do. But there are some groups that just get nominated every year.
Yeah.
It's just kind of token. They're nominated every year.
They're just good every year. So
And that's absolutely why.
I think that's
But
it
wouldn't be fair for, say, the Tortuga Twins or Puke and Snot to win Best Act every year, even if they're the most popular act every year, because where's the fun in awards? So I love the Danger Committee, but I was more thinking about, like, Toil and Tumble and...
Oh, God,
those disgusting freaks.
Now they're the grossest couple of
They are the grossest.
Yeah, they usurped you two.
Oh, we should have...
I know.
God,
I
the heat's off us.
Finally.
This is great.
Yeah.
Jesus, fuck.
But, I mean, there are other sort of more new and less established acts that haven't really gotten that sort of recognition before, and I feel like... Those are the people who are the real competition, because Danger Committee would absolutely deserve it if they won, because they do put on.
But they're also
show.
Making obscene amounts of money and whatnot.
Yes.
So there's that.
They're getting 500 pictures taken of them every weekend, and they get to do.
And
great
they're making
shows
obscene amounts of money every day.
So much money.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, absolutely. Every single person that was nominated, and so many more people that weren't even nominated. All killed it this year. I personally had the best year I have had in many, many years.
Yeah.
My last couple years were really shitty, and I was not having a good time, and I was really considering the end of my Fest career, and this year totally brought that around.
So you were nominated for an award, right?
I was nominated. Yeah. But anyway, so moving on.
No. What was the award that you were nominated for?
Best beard? Best looking? No, I guess
that wouldn't be either of those.
Best Teddy Roosevelt impersonator.
Beard. Raider Lee is gorgeous.
Ooh, that's a deep pull from your villain salt. Your beard insult.
Yeah, because no one uses beard to mean that. No,
she's the only one.
Yep. The only one. Yeah, Kirsten, did you copyright?
So,
she's not even
Sterling.
The only one with a beard insult. Jesus.
Salsa was nominated for the Best New Act. Against one other act.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Apparently, there are only two new acts this
year. I know.
Year.
Well,
who is the other act?
Ravenscroft Music Guild.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really
good. They do medieval music on medieval instruments.
Nice.
And there was actually one morning where.
Like a harpist and a dulcimer.
We were accidentally gridded at the same time for the morning dance jam and Ravenscroft. And so they just played with us, and it was the most amazing thing ever.
I get incredible. So little chance to see other shows.
Oh, I know, right?
And the few times that I do get a little bit of time to, go out and experience a bit, I don't tend to seek out music because I feel like, and this is really, really terrible of me and I need to change my thinking, but I feel like I'm more likely to find that sort of music on YouTube or Spotify than I am to find these comedians, these shows.
Sure.
So I don't seek out music. So people tell me about all of these amazing musicians and I'm like, shoot, I am doing myself a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
As a dancer, whenever I walk by a musician, I dance.
And that's where your character allows you to do that.
I kind of do the same thing, but not because I can hear the music somewhere else. But when I'm at festival, I am so focused on the performing aspect of it that I'm going to seek out other performers like me because I want to see what they're doing.
Okay.
And I want to...
I actually rarely see shows out at festival.
I don't see shows very often, but if I am going to walk by, I'm going to pay attention to what another performer is doing.
Sure.
Especially, like, the great Rondini, I think I mentioned before.
His show is so
just watching
fun.
Him, man. Just even walking by, just hearing the snippets of things he says, and going, oh, that's what he's doing, and then trying to process that and internalize it, why does that work, and stuff like that, is what I personally tend to do a lot more. When I'm at a festival, is try to absorb all of the passive information around me.
Yeah.
And I probably could learn a lot from musicians, but I that's not the
it's
style.
It's a different kind of performance. It's, you draw your audience
it's a different
ways.
Way to pull the audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
anyway, Kashmir...
Yes. But anyway,
so
you guys are going to be going to Seattle soon.
No. Nice try. So Sal Sister Lane won best new act for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival 2016.
Kazimir the Hungry, sword swallowing. Do you swallow swords and eat fire?
Yep.
During your regular act?
Yep.
Dig it.
Cool. I haven't been able to stay for an entire one because I feel like I shouldn't hang around.
We saw you do a truncated version of your show in the wine tasting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was great. We didn't see you eat any fire, so underachiever, but it was really great.
No, I didn't do the fire. I didn't do the pool cue. But I did eat a beef stick.
Yeah, you did.
I saw the pool cue one. I think when we were waiting for the cupcake battle to start, we wanted to wait for your show to end so that we didn't draw anyone away from it. And the pool cue freaked me out, I think, more than the sword, more than the arrows, because it's just, it was so unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And
ask Matt about it.
Oh, jeez.
It was so cool to watch, but... Oh, man.
So not only did Salsa take home the best new act of the year.
Yeah, but our guests, wasn't enough for you, was it?
But it wasn't.
No, it wasn't enough for bastard. Salsa. He won two awards that night. The other award that he got was his Unicorn Award. So he is not only best new stage act, but he is...
Fictional?
Indoctrinated into the Hall of Fame.
Horny?
The Illuminati.
Well, as a newbie, and this is halfway an honest question, what is the significance of the Unicorn Award?
So and the unicorn, like
thank
Jenna,
you, audience.
Like Jenna said, the short answer is it's kind of a Hall of Fame, but the actual text on the back of it basically says the unicorn is given to those that exemplify the spirit of festival, who live festival throughout the year. So it's the people that don't just show up and entertain people, but it's the people that bust their ass after cannon goes off.
Okay.
It's the people that throughout the year are working to improve their craft.
The ones who make fest.
People who make who bust their ass to make the place work behind the scenes. The people that foster growth in rookies and are a mentor to them.
Yep.
And, just the people that, the people that make Fest happen,
You're the moral exemplars.
Oh, Jesus.
No, not moral.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Jeez, what was I thinking using the term moral? But you're an exemplar, though.
It was.
Before the Lee Walker Award became an award, it was the highest ranking award you could get.
Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to explain the unexplainable. But that's kind of what it is those people who who go above and beyond just showing up and entertaining people, but live the festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, with that, are you going to be doing your act at all during the off season, looking for places to perform?
I think right now I'm going to give my throat a rest.
Yeah. Oh, finally, I've been waiting years for that.
I know, right? But I know that I have a lot to learn yet.
Yeah.
And I think right now, if somebody offered me a job, I would absolutely take it. But I think at the moment, I'm going to take a little bit of a rest, and then I'm going to go back to just getting better at the craft first. Work towards mastering the art a little bit more. And then getting ready for next year.
Cool.
And I think after that, then I'll probably start pushing myself publicly a lot more.
Yeah.
But because it just is so new, and festival is a boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know, it's, there is very few other places as a performer that you can go that you get such an intense feedback loop.
Yep.
Because not only do you have the audience right in front of you, but 2 hours later you get to do it again.
It's better than college, personally.
Right.
My first year out there.
I found the actual text.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Do give us a dramatic reading, Jenna. Yes.
Oh, dramatic?
Dramatic reading, yes.
Given to those people whose talents and love of performing personify the magic of the festival, and who, with their special gifts, continue to ensure the artistic quality of the festival year in, year out, and all year round.
Sexy.
Ta-da. All right. Yep.
So that's what the Unicorn Award is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did that.
I did that.
Yeah. Hell yes. Also, well done.
And honestly,
I did it 10 years ago and five times better, but you know what?
Oh, yeah. No, Jenna's had hers forever, and Matt has had his for five years.
So does that mean you two can do the weird unicorn handshake?
Oh, God. Have we not done that yet?
That's right.
We have, so we don't need to do it again.
No.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't see it happen.
Do it for the radio. Do it for the internet radio.
Do it for the internet, because there.
Listeners, just so you know, this is massively dorky and such an honor to witness.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
It was so magnificent, I can't even describe it to the internet.
Much more important to me, though, is the fact that my assistant Taffy also got his unicorn.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
I was actually very shocked that he had not been the recipient of it years ago.
Well, I think he's only been eligible for a little while.
Has he?
Yeah.
Okay, I assume
you
he's
have
been
to
out for ages, but I don't know that he's been out as an entertainer.
No, that's exactly it. Is they were patrons for years.
Yeah.
Really?
Until Gary finally went. No, because Gary found the festival in the first place, and then Jim and Gary started going there as patrons for years and years and years.
Huh.
And then people started chirping in their ear about, why the hell don't you work out here? And at first they went, yep, yeah, Bob, we can't do what you guys do. Until people finally convinced them that,
and then they realized,
fuck you. No, you can. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was actually Porter that was like, listen, assholes.
There was actually two or three people. I was talking to Jim about it one day, and he said there was two or three people all in the span of a single day that basically all said, what the fuck, man?
Porter?
And that was the
Matt?
And yep. Actually, possibly it wasn't. Megan it was Bruner. It was some people at Irish Cottage.
Okay, yeah, Megan Bruner.
And he was like, well, maybe. And so he started. And Jesus, fuck, that guy works his ass off. And
he's
so fucking funny. Both of them do. Absolutely.
Every single morning I can see them because I'm on the top of the gate till like 11 in the morning.
And they have the most fun.
Oh, jeez.
You know.
And it's infectious, too, because, you know, you go over, and we've done this a couple of times in the mornings, like hanging out over at the bridge. Taffy's usually standing on the railing.
And we go and fuck with him, because that's what we do.
But, I mean, I'm not going to say we're good people.
Oh, no.
God. But we're decent people.
No, we're not.
Halfway decent people.
We're tolerable
people. A quarter
people.
We are
there we go.
Technically people. We are legally
people. We are people. who recognize that other people are also people from time to time.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I took them for granted when I first came out. You know, when I first came out, my first year was 2014, and I was on the Royal Court, and you were talking about how Fest is just this boot camp, and it so was, because I'd been out of college for a couple of years, and I went to... I went to Cornish College of the Arts out in Seattle.
Oh, my God. It hurts.
Oh, good. Let's hurt her some more. That's right.
Did I show you the bruise that I got while I was moving? It's right there.
Yeah?
You see that one right
there? Right on your middle knuckle there.
Yeah, on my middle knuckle there. Yeah.
Let me take a closer look at that.
It's a pretty big bruise, fantastic. Actually. I have no idea where it came from.
Oh, hey, look. I got you this Jack in the Box.
While they're doing that. it's true.
Fuck you, Jack.
The Renaissance Festival, unlike any other place that you're going to perform, is you're in front of people that are right up in your face. And you're going to get feedback instantly, whether they like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can take that information, and 2 hours later, you're going to do that show again. Mm-hmm. And you can make tiny tweaks here and there and change things around, and you can see within hours if those changes worked or not, and if you need to revert to a previous version or things like that. It's not the next night or the next weekend. It's couple hours later, and then a couple hours later, and then a couple hours later, and you're just all day you're doing this over and over again, getting this feedback, and it's intense because even when your show is done, people are still looking at you. You're still on.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's unless
you just don't bow and walk off stage.
Yeah, exactly.
You bow and then you collect money from people, and then they see you on the street later, and then they whatever. Yeah.
So it's. You are living that character for hours and hours and hours.
And I think that's why this year I have had more trouble and stress than any other year at Fest I've worked. I started in a shop, and then I moved on to work in a game, King of the Log.
Weren't you like a shop rat?
I was. I was a shop rat. I sold jewelry.
Then you were a logger.
Yes. And then this is my second year on entertainment, even though it is nowhere near my first year working at Fest. And it's my first year being solo on the street. And, you know, that constant feedback that you get, it's so hard.
You're out there naked.
Yes.
Basically.
Solo is the hardest way to do Fest.
I had a very similar experience because I was with Fondazzi for...
Yeah.
Over a decade, you know, that's a group, and you are not an individual. You are, aren't you one of the Fondazzi people?
Right. Yep. If something doesn't go well, you're able to workshop it with other people, figure out what to do.
You're a faceless part of a group, and same thing with you this year, as I was also solo out there, and it was just, you're twisting in the breeze.
And those first couple of weekends were rough.
Yeah.
The weather was not good. Oh, it was rainy and cold. And the audience was enjoying it. The audience was wonderful.
The audience showed up was fucking there for it.
But we got some dedicated fans.
But there were fewer people, and the people that were there weren't as vocally and visually responsive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which was okay for doing the Wise Fools shows, because we've done shows, you know, last year where people weren't as responsive, and we kind of.
But you've also got that support group of other performers around.
Yep.
But to be on the street, and you know, I think the very first time I tried my funeral bit, because I hold funerals for people out there. Really funny bit. I thought it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. It was the reason that
you give like really hilarious eulogies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the first people that did it, like one of them actually said, "So is that it? Are we done?" And like that sucks your first day of a new character. And so I feel like I didn't hit my stride with my character until 5th or 6th weekend.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I didn't feel comfortable walking around the street interacting until quite late in the run, and probably mostly because of the weather.
Yep.
Because usually those more difficult, cold, rainy, quiet days don't come until later when you've already kind of established
yourself. Yeah, the beginning of the run's nice and sunny in July.
Like an interesting challenge to have that inverted.
Yeah. Were we in the upside down? Is this Stranger Things? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, and Talon is the Demogorgon.
That explains the... Oh, God.
And that's why he's so tall.
That explains the overwhelming sense of nostalgia I felt.
But it's this... Festival is this weird place.
Yeah.
Okay. Jenna, has been doing this for decades.
I was born into it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing it for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. You've been doing it for, what?
Five or six years.
You've been two or three.
This is my third year.
And festival and the people you know through festival are probably 90% of your social group at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's like a cult.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Festival, even if you go out there on Festival Friday, is 16 days. Out of 365 days a year, festival is 16 days. And those connections are the most connections in our... the most important connections in our lives.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's how insane festival is.
It's the most important 16 days.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It is this tiny sliver of our year, and yet it's the most important. We all of our social connections come from there. Most of our performing careers are spent out there. Mm. You know, a lot of the people that we know and the people we hang out in the off-season, we know through that place.
Oh, yeah.
You start a theater company with people that you know.
But it's... It is this weird, and it's impossible to explain to somebody who hasn't done it.
Well,
which is why it's this explaining the unexplainable. It's you just can't.
Right.
No, you have to live it.
Yeah. What words?
It's like Jesus camp, only with less Jesus and more roasting marshmallows over.
Woo! And booze.
And booze.
A lot of booze.
And after hours.
Though. Ooh, and awkward tent sex.
It was fucking intense.
I hate you so much.
No, it's
I didn't mean to set that up. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. You chose this. Ew. The thing is that one of the things that I learned very quickly when I moved back here from Seattle in late 2013, and even before that, because I've been going to cons still when I was in Seattle, you know, because
that's how we learned about you.
Exactly. Wait, you mean we met at Conversions? It's weird. I know, right?
Worst mistake Matt and I ever made.
Just about. Why?
Seriously,
how dare
you guys ruin everything?
It shows you to show mercy, right? but even before that, I could best describe the kind of performing and geek and artistry circles in the Twin Cities as the spider's web, and right in the center is Fest. Everything radiates outwards from Fest or is connected back to Fest by one, no more than I say 4 or 5 degrees.
I'd say three tops.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a few nodes. Fest is probably the biggest.
Yeah.
Another huge node is Convergence.
Yep.
And another one is Fringe.
Fringe, yeah.
Like, those are the three major nodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably the biggest knot is going to be Fest.
Yeah. And just the fact of going back to street and shifting from a group into solo and vice versa, I got to do kind of starting out in a group because 2014 I was in Royal Court. Emily Brady got me into Royal Court, and she is amazing.
I think it's hilarious that your outfit in Royal Court wasn't shabby, but it was like way less.
It was amateurish.
Interesting and fun and money spent on it then.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start somewhere.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Indeed. But I got to observe.
He was a lesser noble.
Mm-hmm.
A hedge knight.
Something like that, yeah. And I got to see firsthand exactly how the festival worked. It was good for me, I think, being in a group that had a set schedule. We had a routine. We hit these certain places during the day. And I just got to see Johnny and Linda and Emily, and I got to see all of them just work and saw what they did, and there was no better introduction I think I could have gotten to festival. And then my next year, I decided that I wanted to try something. I wanted to take my character that I had done with Court. I wanted to take it in a different direction and also strike out on my own and have a little bit of freedom and everything, and that was scary as hell. And so I know completely what you went through, Kirsten, because
you had a couple hard days last year, and I think they were the same. I think it was almost the same days. It was the ones where the audience was just weird and not reacting. And
because we would do stage combat, and you know, is one of my huge passions, and I was able to do that out there. You know, also because I was tangentially related to this shabby little group called Human Combat Chess. I don't know who got me involved in that, but...
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not worth mentioning.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's Six Elements Theater, you know, check them out. probably
they
opening
do like
up next
two
April.
Months of
yeah,
Cumin Cummins, as we don't need to plug them.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. They don't deserve it. But
whoa, fuck off. Yeah.
There's a reaction.
There
wait,
we go.
There's that bruise again. That one right there.
That one right there on your middle knuckle.
But you had your connections through them.
Yeah, I did. Oh. And I had this stage fight with Grady Mabson, who I met through chess, and then we roped him into coming out into Fest. And Eric Nowhere as well. That was his first year as Sir Guy.
Now,
yeah,
I walked into Fantasy Flight today.
Wait, Eric works at Fantasy
Flight?
Yeah,
and I guess today was his first day working.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And I'm like,
so
what
you work
doing
with him
here
for like the next 4 days?
I got two more shifts.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Fest patrons, if you want to see Sir Grumps-a-Lot, come out to the Fantasy Flight Game Center. He works there now, I guess.
Still so grumpy.
But this year I went from group to solo to back to being in a group because our good friend Talon Teasley, also from Human Combat Chess, wanted to follow me along as his first year to kind of get acclimatized to Fest. And then all of a sudden I just get this call that, like, Jenna wants somebody to, I guess, be quote-unquote responsible for her technically
only in the most legal of definitions.
At the Renaissance Festival, you can't be a solo character if you're under 18. You have to be paired with or grouped with somebody who's over 18 to make sure that you're not being a
there are
18 year olds in
there are 18 year olds in the group and
a lot
they
of,
have
I
the
stand
director
corrected
yes yep. And a lot of the younger people either get put down in the Sherwood Forest, which does have 18 plus people watching it, or in the Castle Escape, which I haven't been by,
neither
so I can't say for sure, but I would bet that there's adults there as well.
Because Jessa had this character that I thought would fit really well, and I was like, so...
And it turned out, what I was thinking is that we would have very much a kind of a Three Musketeers thing, and... And I know that Jessa had some ideas for her character that were going to be a lot more out there, too. And what it ended up being is you had goofy dude number one and differently goofy dude number two over here. And she ended up being, for lack of a better term, the straight man. And it was amazing because she was more mature than the both of us put together.
Right.
And was the one person, I think, who was able to wrangle my ADD.
Where did the acting come in?
We did it live?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Bad answer, actually.
And that's exactly what Fest does. I mean, I got to have 16 different laboratories for how a certain approach can work, for how a certain joke can work, for how, if I decide to, I'm just going to go and point out people based on their appearance because my character is very vain and superficial. You know, like, I could try that.
You have to be. You're a Lanz Knecht.
Yeah.
If you're not aware, a Lanz Knecht was a German mercenary from the 1400s, 1500s that didn't have to follow sumptuary laws, so they were the only people who were allowed to wear absolutely anything they wanted because their lives were brutish and short, and so they were flashy and glitzy.
They
and
wore their wealth
decked
and
out.
May and I say that costume? Holy fuck!
Pretty gaudy.
It was beautifully gaudy.
Oh my god!
Blues
and yellows and.
Fuck.
Yep, I looked like a fancy ass rooster with a sword.
That was literally me going through Pinterest and saying, "Hey, David, I'm gonna try something."
And again, it's this laboratory that, you know, you're given this sandbox to work in, and you're told here are a couple of tools, and here are some parameters, and here's roughly what you think you're gonna do, and just go play. And magic happens. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how your initial plan when you started out with Casimir at the beginning of the season, or when you had first decided to go solo. I don't know how that evolved, but I know that there's an evolution because that's how Fest
absolutely
works.
I saw a video of me performing second. I think it was either first weekend, but I'm pretty sure it was second weekend. Somebody posted a video blog of their day at the festival, and I was in there, and I cringed through most of it because it was just, I was like, oh, this is so terrible, this is so bad, because even between weekends, the difference, the shift, the improvement, because you do, you learn how to hit your patter, you learn how to phrase things better, you learn, you pick up a joke here and there because you improvise a line and it gets a laugh, and so you put it in there permanently. And the other thing is not just you working on stuff, but you are surrounded by literally hundreds of people who this is what they do.
Yep.
And all you have to do is listen to them. Because there are people that have been doing it for 30, 40 years. And if they say, try this, fucking try it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got a really good reason for saying that. You know, and the number of people that pulled me aside and went, I really like what you're doing here. Try this. And not only because they had a vague feeling about it, but because they had theory behind it.
Yeah.
They had...
experience.
We had Will Bradshaw on a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was just fascinating because...
Oh, my God. Not only... Nerdiness.
I know, right? But that conversation that we had that night was continued over many other days, because there was, you know, try reading this book because it has this theory, and it's so much beyond performing. It's psychology and the way you present things and things like that. And so change this phrasing here into a way this way. And you know, one of the things he said, you know, is when you're passing the hat, you know, do not mention a dollar. Don't say, you know, because one of the things we do at Vilification Tennis is we ridicule people. You know, we have to split this 13 ways and you still give us a dollar. And, you know, so give us more money because, God damn it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, at the beginning of the season, I kind of started out that way. So I made it a little more humorous. I was just like, this is really, really rare and stupid and dangerous. So consider that when you're only giving me a dollar, you know, maybe you should give me more.
Right.
And he was like, if you mention a dollar, then you've set a price. And people go, a dollar. I should give him more, but I can give him a dollar.
I see.
Because other people have given him a dollar. Whereas if you start out by saying, if you think this act was only worth $5, then, you know, go ahead and put that in my hat, and I will be grateful and accept that from you.
Interesting.
Now you've set the price point at 5.
Oh, I never thought about that.
And as soon as I started doing that, the number of fives in my hat went up.
Because
psychologically people go, this is the price point now.
Oh my God.
Just tiny little tweaks like that, if you listen to the people around you that have been doing this for fucking ever, things change.
Perfect example is this year we stepped up and we had kind of a core group of street fighters, street stage combatants. Not like one of the people who did that is sitting across from me or anything.
No, I'm sitting.
Damn it. You're technically correct. The best kind
best
of correct.
Best kind of correct.
We used to have it last year in this stanchioned, roped-off area that the Royal Navy provided. Mm-hmm. This year we did away with that and instead had physical
marshals,
which was great.
And did it right on
the Thank you. By the way, if you're listening to this and you helped marshal our fight, thank you.
You're
provided
welcome.
An invaluable service. Yes, thank you. You were one of them, Hart. First couple of weekends, we do our thing. We set it up. My character sets it up as a swordsmanship demo and is interrupted by our good friend Chris Marchand, played Sir Francis Bryan.
Wait. I have to talk about Chris's character.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, my God. Because Chris started this year. He also did a solo.
Yes, he did. Yes, he went from the Royal Guard to...
He went from well-established group into, wow, what the fuck am I doing? And he did an amazing job. He was also nominated for Late
Yes, Bear. Yes, that's right. He was.
And Chris decided that he was going to have this story through thing.
Yep. He had a historical character, too. A real guy who existed.
Historical character. Francis What's-His-Nuts.
Sir Francis Bryan.
Francis What's-His-Nuts. And then, listen, German pants.
Yeah.
But he had this storyline. And so he had three fights during the day. One with myself, one with Trailer, and one with our good friend Luton.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was that he is trying to hunt down this cardinal.
Yep.
Cool. Good premise. Cardinal doesn't exist on festival sites anyway. I don't even think we have a cardinal. We have a dean, bishop, but yeah. No cardinals. Anyway, So Marchand comes up to my character and is like, I need information. And my character's upset that he stood me up the week previous. So I'm going to get an apology before you're going to get anything out of me.
And so you whip out the shamshir and you go to work.
So we fight over that because he needs this information and refuses to apologize. And we fight. He ends up apologizing because, you know, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
But the storyline is that, so then I give the information for Trailer's character.
Yep. She sells me down the river.
I do. But what I loved, and then, so Trailer's character, I assume, sells out Luton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I love about it is that each scene that Marchand did was complete in and of itself.
Yep.
Yes. I actually had no idea that it connected to your and Luton's scenes, because I hadn't had the chance to see them at all.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful.
So it's like, it's just this extra tidbit that, number one, informed Chris's character in different ways throughout the day. But number two, if somebody happened to catch two of those fights, holy shit. Because my fight with...
Callback.
My fight with Marchand also referenced Luton.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. As this very attractive, tall, slender gentleman, you know, whatever. So if they caught that anywhere through there, once Chris and I established that... They caught any of the other fights.
They saw the story.
Yeah. They saw the story.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Fascinating. And I don't know, there were probably not a lot of people that got that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, what, you spend 4 or 5 hours.
You've got to be paying close attention to get it, but.
But for those that did, and the way it informs, and the way that it, everything else, and just the fact that, you know what, it was, each scene was its own thing, but... If you got that extra bit, holy shit, bonus.
Mm. Yep.
You know? And it wasn't... He didn't do it for him, for his character, blah, blah, blah. He did it because that's a really neat thing to be able to provide the audience. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not aware of the other parts of a story, the fact that a through line exists, I think instantly makes the scene more immersive and it makes the audience give just a bit more of a shit about it.
Well, festival has been trying to do a little bit more of that. Andrea...
Andy Wilkins.
News of the day every morning, and she's been like coming up with just ridiculous storylines, and some of them, you know, me and my character, we could play with, and we could talk about on street, and some of them just, you know, didn't affect me or isn't something that I would really, you know, get into or have the chance to get into.
It's royal business; it doesn't affect you, whatever.
Yeah, but it was interesting that there were people who were. Different people talking about these things throughout the day, and then sometimes there would be a major event associated with that. There was the cupcake battle. There was the Puppets Are People 2 protest.
Oh, God.
That was amazing.
And there were just lots and lots of different things going on that if people were paying attention, maybe there were characters talking about this at the front gate, and then around 5 p.m., Sir Tedward gets a bunch of pies in his face. You know, it's really cool so that they're trying to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that it encourages more people to spend more time out there.
Well, a little bit more focus, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing is we bust our ass for many, many hours a day, and it's exhausting. And sometimes you need to have these things for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it keeps us engaged, and if we're engaged, we're more entertaining. Because otherwise we get bored.
Absolutely.
I can walk around as Squirrel. Morgan, you know, rather than
dog.
trying my bits, I can talk about how, Casimir has eaten all the potatoes again. You know, the last time this happened, it didn't turn out so well for my people.
The
you know, and like...
Those mashed potatoes are so good,
and,
you guys.
And, like, just
ate
making,
all the mashed potatoes.
Being able to connect with other characters without having to be directly interacting with those characters. You know, oh, yes, go see Casimir's show. If a man who can eat that many potatoes surely can eat a sword. And it gives you, like, a little bit more to use.
Indeed.
Because we need it.
So what we're saying is that Wilkins is a massive instigator.
Jesus. Yes, clearly.
Yeah.
Instigator of all the best, worst things.
So good at what she does.
Yeah.
And circling back to what you were talking about taking advice from the people who are like the true veterans of that of this festival. We first couple weekends and we're doing our fight thing. Chris comes up on me during the swordsmanship demo, interrupts me. We have a fight. because he wants information from me, and I have professional standards, and I'm not going to betray confidentiality or whatever.
Oh,
and
I'll do it if the price is
right. Exactly, of course. You'll do anything the price, right? Yeah. And, you know, we have our fight, and then Mike Bloom, the Lord High Sheriff, also award winner, along with Eric Noer, Sir Guy, comes upon me and chastises me for fighting on a festival day, tries to arrest me. I do sweet-ass kung fu move on Sir Guy, if I do say so myself, lay him out, and then we, and then Mike Bloom and I have a fight, and now it's developed into the point where he and Sir Guy also have a fight going, springing off of that. So we've developed like a back-to-back-to-back, one fight leads into another thing. Mm-hmm. A couple weekends in, we're doing this, Dan Kujawski from the Royal Navy comes up to us.
Yeah.
And
who has been doing sword stuff since before Jessel was born.
He and Joel Allard, the other longtime Royal Navy guy, also big stage combatants, turns out. Oh, no. Renaissance Festival happens to be a hub of the fight community, as it turns out, right?
What?
And so he gave us just these couple quick, relatively minor things, like if you consider this, and if you maybe try and talk to your audience this way, that kind of thing. We incorporated those notes, and the show was instantly way more engaging, way more compelling. We drew bigger crowds, and it's just like a couple of sentences from a guy who knows what he's talking about, and you know, he could have kept anything to the, like of that nature to himself, and you know, let us figure it out on our own. But people give enough of a shit about their fellow performers to make each other's shows better. We make each other better.
The Wise Fools shared a stage with the Wacky Chickens.
Mm.
And if you haven't gotten the chance to see the Wacky Chickens, I know that they're mostly aimed at kids.
Do it before they die?
Just go see it. They've been out there for so long. It's slapstick, and it's
classic
funny,
clown.
And it's... Yeah. It is amazing.
But he harkens back to the old school vaudeville.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
he's been doing that for 50 fucking years.
Yes. And so...
he knows his shit.
Lloyd and Rosie, who are just amazing, amazing people to watch on stage. Mm-hmm. And then we
pause
and interrupt
real quick. Lloyd was actually the first application that was accepted into the very first Minnesota Fringe Festival.
Yes.
What?
And he just did Fringe Festival this past year for the first time in years.
Since the first one, I think.
Yeah. Oh, since...
Maybe he did the... I think he did like...
I think it is something like that, but I didn't want to say for sure because I can't remember.
Damn.
But he was the first applicant and... the one of the first shows at the Minnesota Fringe. He was part of the first Minnesota Fringe Festival.
He told us the story of how he turned in his application and went back and said, so how many other people applied, wondering how big his chances were? And they're like, oh, you're the first one.
Yeah.
But he's
very their first applicant.
They're amazing at what they do, and we got to hang out with them and have conversations. And just little things like... we saw this guy in the audience for one of the other shows at that stage who was wearing a Trump 2016, and then under that it said, fuck your feelings.
Hoo boy.
And we're like, now, political shirt, fine. Why do you have to add that little, well, he probably thinks it funny. And then we launch into an hour-long conversation about the nature of comedy and what exactly is it about that makes that funny. And we had so many conversations behind Witchwood about just what... is comedy. And I think that some of those conversations made our show a little better because they just made us think about what we were doing, which you're not supposed to do in improv, but you still have, you know, all these things in the back of your mind.
Yeah,
like,
but you still, you think about these things when you're not performing.
Yeah.
That way when you are performing, they just happen.
Yes.
It's called doing your homework before you get to the stage. And when you get to the stage, it looks effortless because there's that... Hours and hours of body work. I have spent hours and hours
talking comedy theory with people, and I will happily do it again.
Yeah.
Because, oh man.
It's good for you. So as a performer, it's
good for the
plus,
soul.
Plus, I love it, and it's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
So. We've been talking for a long time.
We should
take a break.
We should
take a break.
Did anybody have anything else fest related to talk about before we go?
We could go on.
There is one acknowledgement I'd like to make.
Yeah.
One acknowledgement I'd like to make is that
you're welcome.
There's a little thing that happens on the last day of the festival called Final Fire. Yeah, that happened.
It's just high five.
Yes, it did, and I had the privilege and honor of partaking in that for the first time in my life, thanks to the gentleman to my right who taught me how to breathe fire. Thank you, Salsa. I know.
Oh, sure. You could have talked to me.
Salsa taught me how to spit. Salsa, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Taught me how to spit.
I was a part wicked of Fondazzi. You know what? I helped start Fondazzi. Fuck. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I heard distinct grumbling across
the... I would never.
Yeah, and then you left and we got better. Weird.
I do have to say, last night...
They're going to be saying that to you now soon.
David had like some extra fuel just left over that it's not really worth bringing all the way out west.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so he called his parents out because it was dark and we were going to start a bonfire and blew the flame and just like, oh, that's so amazing. That's so cool. Come, Alan, you have to see this. This is amazing. We're like, he just did the... Yeah, you're right. Actually, it is kind of cool. That's right. I've seen people blow fire for, you know, years and years and years, so I'm kind of jaded to it. But gosh, it is actually kind of cool, isn't it? Shoot. Like, the reactions of people who don't get to experience
your baseline is... our baseline is so skewed.
Yeah. It is.
Like, okay, so I got to see Cirque du Soleil. The most amazing carnival of whatever. And they had a juggler, and he was okay.
Right.
But it was no...
We're so spoiled.
Yeah. He only juggled nine. Like, I'm like, nine. Fucking... Yeah. Come on, step up your game, asshole. Like...
My niece Azra, at dinner tonight, my mom showed her the pictures that she took the other night of me blowing fire, and she just like had that moment like where she just lit up and was like, how did you do that? And I'm just, I'm doing something else at the time. I'm like, I'm park dragon. You know? It's that kind of thing that we all live for. You know?
When Jessa was like probably 5 or 6, something like that.
Yeah.
She got to see the final fire blow, and I was a part of that. And she was like, I want to do that. And I was like, not until you're 16. Because then you're old enough to drive a car and kill someone with it. At that point, you're old enough to hurt yourself.
But there is something...
It's good logic.
There is something extremely different between blowing a fireball and doing a final fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because doing a fireball, you're one person with one fireball, and it's warm, and then...
It's neat.
Doing final fire, you've got 20, 25 people all doing a fireball at the exact same time.
Well, and what they did this year with the circles.
And the configuration is always different every year. They try to mix it up and make it different. Mm-hmm. But the fact is you've got 20-some people all doing a fireball at the exact same time, and the shockwave hits you. It is face-meltingly hot.
Like instant sunburn.
Yeah.
I didn't get a sunburn all year.
Yep.
And it's not like a regular fireball. You just, it's warm. Kind of like opening an oven door. It's warm and then it cools off again. Yeah. This is like opening the oven and shoving your face into it. It's boom, it hits you.
Absolutely.
And it's really intense.
There's a heat and there's a pressure around you and there's an energy too, though. You know?
Oh,
there, like, I'm
wait,
having a hard
fire
time.
Isn't, never mind.
I'm having a hard time describing it, though, but, like, everybody syncing up at the same time, and we're all able to do this thing together, and god damn it looks awesome. And if you haven't seen the picture, do it.
It slams into you.
Yeah. But just the rush. The rush I felt, like, is nothing like it, you know? And so I owe you a lot for that.
Any other, festival retrospectives before we take a break?
I got my 25-year service award because I'm old and stupid.
A quarter century, Jenna.
15-year. Between getting my 15-year award and my best act award and my unicorn award, I have a shit ton of certificates.
Oh, I'm running out of space on my wall for all of them.
I know, right?
I know.
Throw that with my wife's unicorn and the Fondazzi best act of awards. We're running out of wall space real quick.
Aw, you poor thing.
I know, it's... Oh, my God, man. You know how your pointer finger gets really, like... it starts to get sore when you're counting a lot of money. Like, my finger was so sore by the end of this festival.
That's so hard.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. All right, bye.
Thank you.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Jesus Christ.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
And this is the AON Podcast. You're with the special worst. Guests.
Still Dave.
And somebody I'm on her Kirsten. Phone.
Hey, halfway on my phone. Apparently got tagged in like six pictures. Oh. Just now.
You really are look a millennial. Goddamn.
Tag your
I can't. I can't help but look. Okay.
All right.
No backseats.
So we're done talking about Fest. No more. But Jenna's got a thing to say.
Well, I need to talk about moving because I did that essentially over the weekend.
Oh.
I moved. So last week I moved all of my stuff into a pod. Pack rat. Fantastic. I loved their service people. Every time I met them, they were great. I had some finagling with phone stuff. There was a little bit of an issue regarding drop off. Mm-hmm. But they still managed to get it dropped off for me with plenty of time to be able to get stuff moved out, whatever. It was great. So got everything into the pod, end of the day, Thursday night, came out to festival, spent the weekend at festival, showed up to my apartment on Monday, got my keys, a little while later, my pod was delivered. And then that evening I had also hired a couple of movers from Bellhops. It's a company. They're just dudes that lift stuff. That's it. That's what they do.
I'm a dude. I could do that.
Sounds like a moving company to me.
Right?
Story checks out.
So, yeah, I had hired a couple of guys from there.
Were they big, burly guys? Did they show up in kilts and no shirt?
Like,
no.
1 to 10, what are we talking?
No. 6, 7-ish. Oh. Kind of in there. It wasn't...
Better than a 5.
Minneapolis 6 is like a Seattle... Ooh. Also probably 6.
But, I mean, you know, looks aren't everything.
Theater people's in
they
both
got that
communities,
shit moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got that shit moved. Interesting fact.
Yeah, but did you have to pay them with favors?
No.
Oh.
This no, story is boring. Why did you even bring it up?
Well, here's the... Yeah, because you pay them with favors anyways.
One of the guys, I was talking with them a bit as they were moving things. One of the guys is a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
Started probably about the time I stopped doing stand-up.
Hmm.
So we got to talk about the scene and stuff. He might be doing Die Laughing this year.
Was it Peebow? Oh.
No, it was not Peebow. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, Peebow can't lift anything.
Yeah, I was
Peebow wouldn't do any work.
That's a good point.
So did all of that. One of the very first boxes that got unpacked was my coffee box.
Ooh.
It was one of the last ones packed and one of the first ones unpacked.
That shit's important.
Because if you're going to do a move, you got to keep caffeinated.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And, you know, there were I hate to say this, but I do have a couple of different brands of coffee that happen to be in existence within my coffee store. But the first one I turned to was True Stone Coffee.
True Stone Coffee?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving, yeah.
So yeah, like that was what I served to people as they were helping me get things packed, and that is what I had the first day back. I was like, oh God, I've got so much left to do. And yeah, they really did keep me going throughout everything. Like I tried a 5-hour and it was like I ended up going to bed like an hour later because it was just like, nope, tired. But yeah, no. Love the True Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a True Stone myself this morning.
Yeah.
In the last True Stone care package, as I like to call them.
Oh, you get them too.
I got a couple bottles of the cold press, and one of them I had the next morning because God. Yes, and one of them I saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was like, after the Renaissance Festival, I am going to need some coffee.
Yep.
So I was going to have it on Monday morning, the day after festival.
Sure.
I was going to have it that morning before teardown. But my wife, who is awesome, let me sleep in while she went to go to breakfast, and she brought me back breakfast and coffee.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
So I was fine there.
Nice.
So
get me one of them.
Today, Tuesday, the first day I had to go back to work.
Oh, yeah.
I had me a cold press this morning.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so good.
I actually, as I was unpacking, found a True Stone cold press.
It's like, and I
was
Christmas. Like,
oh, my God, right? It was like a super bonus. I'm like, oh, my God, you are so getting drunk tomorrow morning. As in the bottle will.
Oh, okay.
Not, you're not making.
But so you're
Irish
putting
coffee.
Whiskey in that no. iced coffee because I'd be willing to taste that.
So anyway, dear listeners, if you would like to find out what this True Stone thing is all about, you could be part of the Cool Kids Club. You just need to go to TrueStoneRoasters.com.
No, TrueStoneCoffee.com.
TrueStoneCoffee.com. God.
And use
we keep switching that up.
I know, it's true. I just looked it up just because we always fucked it up. And so I went. It is TrueStoneCoffee.com. And
just Google it.
Dear listener, you should probably use the code, special code, apropos, or as Jenna would say,
apropos.
And you can get 10% off of your order of coffee because not only do you get delicious coffee, but you get a little bit extra money to buy other things like more coffee.
Yeah.
Or whiskey, so you can try to have an Irish coffee using True Stone.
Do yourself a favor. Buy yourself some of the Sumatra.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is probably my favorite. The Peru is also really good.
I've had the Peru.
And again, what I love, they don't over roast their beans, which is just.
They roast them just the right amount.
Just the right amount to get the best amount of flavor.
Yep.
But you're going to save yourself 10%. Use that 10% to get some of the cold brew.
Oh, yeah. The cold brew is a must. When we did Die Laughing, cold brew was our salvation.
Yep. Yeah.
Coming up on Kirsten and I's move to Seattle on the 9th. You see, because I also happen to run a podcast called Fightcast, which you can find at soundcloud.com/FightcastPodcast. And I've been getting the True Stone Care packages, and I've been kind of hoarding them because I've been getting cold brew coffee.
Because we're driving for 24 hours.
And you're going to be in Seattle.
Yeah.
But I've also been doing overnight security shifts at places that, like, hey, we could get armed robbers here any moment, so be ready. And the thing that keeps me ready to go is True Stone Coffee.
So what we're saying is 5-hour energies will not keep you alert to prevent robberies.
Yeah, don't
but
trust
True
them.
Stone will.
Yes.
How many things were robbed while you were on watch?
Zero.
Exactly. True Stone prevented all of those robberies.
Nobody showed up, but that's immaterial. I chalk it up to True Stone.
But it's they saw how alert you were. They saw from a distance. They were like, no, this guy's on True Stone Coffee. Yep. We can't.
Yeah. Not going to mess with this guy.
This isn't going to work.
I sent my mom one of the sampler packs for Mother's Day because I always forget what to get my parents. And so I'm just like, shoot, internet, tell me.
The best care pack, the best present. What's the next holiday coming up? Quick.
Christmas. Thanksgiving.
Halloween's coming up.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
We are all Halloween. So tired.
I'm thinking present.
No. No, I don't care. Everybody, what you need to do this Halloween is all of those little kids coming to trick-or-treat.
Oh, my God.
Give them a bottle of cold press.
This is either the best or the worst idea ever, and I'm not sure which it is.
Tell them it's for their parents. Their parents will thank you.
Yes, indeed. Well,
so I got my mom the sampler pack, and I forgot to, like, see if they would include a card. I forgot to send her something saying, hey, I'm getting you this coffee. So she's like, I don't know who sent me this coffee in the mail, but it's fantastic. And I've just been drinking mystery coffee for days. And I love it. And I'm like, oh, shoot, that was me. I'm a good kid. I sent you thing for Mom's Day. Yeah. Complete stranger thought that it was great. And she didn't even have to say it was good.
Awesome.
She didn't know it was from me.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, all of this, what we're trying to say is, even though they're paying us to be complete shills for them,
I'm not getting paid.
By paying, I mean coffee.
Yeah.
Well, which is where I'd spend the money.
Even
anyway,
though we get a
that's
kickback,
my price. I'm cheap.
It really, no, legitimately, this stuff is really good.
It is.
And we wouldn't be saying that if we didn't actually
do it. It fuels coffee, it fuels creativity, and it fuels,
non-robbery.
So, yeah.
So many things.
Exactly.
All right, how about a Fast Five?
Yes.
All right, today's Fast Five actually comes to us from the aforementioned James from the Awful Copter Podcast. I know, right?
From the Awful Podcast?
The Awful Podcast Copter.
Awful Podcast Copter.
From the Hella Awful.
To the Awful Podcast Copter.
Anyway, it's the preface is, good evening, darling AONers.
Oh.
AONers.
Can you be a little more?
There was a lightning strike outside the...
Let the five fingers of these questions tickle the ivories of your intellects. or the ovaries of your intellects?
Where on the doll did they tickle us?
Oh, good.
I don't know if I'm creeped out or aroused right now.
Question number one, breathing or drinking?
Drinking.
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 Breathing.
Oh.
Well, I just recently learned how to breathe fire, so I'm going to go breathing.
Oh.
Drinking.
Yeah.
It's still drinking, yeah.
Yeah. Number two, eating or breathing?
Oh.
Eating.
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 Because now I am on fire and I'm
Now I'm on fire and eating.
I'm a growing girl. I need my food.
I'm going to stay with breathing.
Yeah,
all right. Number three, blowing or eating? Eating.
Wow, now it is.
Oh, totally blowing.
eating with teeth.
I'm going to go with eating again.
How dry do you want it?
Number four. Oh, I should probably... I've been saying what I'm... fuck you. Number four, drinking or walking? Drinking.
Drinking.
I'm just kind of sticking with drinking. Yeah. Because drinking. I like drinking.
Sticking with drinking.
number five, beating or healing?
Beating.
Beating.
I hate playing
beating.
A healer.
Yeah, beating. Beating. Yeah. Nobody appreciates you when you're a healer. Uh-huh. Nobody.
Nope. Well, okay, no, I'm going to switch to healing because it's I usually am the healer.
Overwatch players, does anybody thank you for being Mercy? No, they don't.
No.
They don't. Nobody does. Don't. Fuck them.
Those were assholes. Words that were probably okay. English. bonus question.
What?
What?
We've got a fast six.
Schnell sechs.
Bonus bonus question. Listening or casting? Casting.
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 Listening.
If it's podcasting, I like making podcasts.
I would much rather make them than listen to them.
I might have to switch to cast.
I'm going
to
go listening.
I might have to switch to casting.
I'm going to say casting. Casting.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy listening to podcasts, but I'm...
I actually don't.
I'm going to listen to them.
Okay. I don't like listening to podcasts at all.
I listen to Idle Thumbs and Stuff You Missed in History Class all the fucking time.
I listen to News from Honeytown.
Last podcast on the left.
My favorite murder.
The outro to this email is, I have put my love into your orifices that you may spit it back into mine.
James, right. Some shit, man.
Thank you for those sweet, sweet,
I probably should have been, I've been really tired, and so I didn't say this, but for those of you who don't know how this works, the Fast Five is, we find out what the question is without knowing what the context is, and we answer the questions as you have just heard. And now we're going to find out what the context is, and that probably would have been a better explanation 5 minutes ago.
Here we are now. Let's go. We'll do it live.
All right. Fast Five answers. Greetings again, my wee Burns Knight haggises. By your powers combined, these are the answers. Number one, breathing or drinking? Water. Which is the worst way to be killed by too much water?
Breathing, 100%.
Breathing. Oh, yeah.
I have nightmares about drowning.
Drinking too much water, though, that would suck.
Overhydration.
I actually drown. It's not that bad.
I have as well.
It's pretty quick.
And I found it horrific.
It's pretty quick, though.
I mean, I can't
drinking
wash
too
my
much
face
water.
In the shower. It's not that bad.
Here's the thing. Drowning may objectively...
When swimming out in Santa Cruz, and absolutely not.
I mean, drowning may objectively not take very long, but I'm sure for the person experiencing it, it must seem like a long-ass time.
We've all seen The Prestige. Michael Caine spells it out.
I was about to say Titanic, but okay.
But to die by drinking too much water?
I can't. Yeah.
I can't even fathom that.
How do the mechanics of that even work?
Too much of anything is poisonous.
There you go. Finally got it. Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
Son of a bitch.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I gotta switch. I think I gotta switch to breathing, though, because that's... Ugh. Number two, eating or breathing? I said eating.
I said eating.
I think I stuck with breathing.
Earth, would you rather make a Faustian deal to eat a mud pie and not be blowing it out of your sinuses for 3 months, or do you prefer the current method of taking in fest dirt?
Oh,
okay.
Yes, I'd rather eat a mud pie than blow black boogers for
for like months. The next 5 months. Yeah.
Hey, see, I just count the black buggers as cost of doing business.
Yeah, so I'm used to it. Whatever. Yeah. It just doesn't bother me anymore. I'm breathing.
I can't
with the respiratory problems.
Because of all of the rain and mud and stuff that we've had, I didn't have black buggers
neither
for like the first 2 weekends.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was concerned. I was like, what the fuck?
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Where is... I'm not allowed to eat, so...
You poor baby.
Number three, blowing or eating?
Eating.
I think I said blowing.
You did.
Fire. Which eating. Trick has earned you greater renown? For guests that have done neither, which impresses you more? Which has earned you greater renown? As much as I say eating is probably the more dangerous and skillful art.
Yep.
The one that is going to get people talking is the breathing.
Because that blast just looks cool.
People do not understand just how dangerous and intricate eating is, but they see big fireball from across this place, and they're, ooh, the fireball.
Yep.
I have only done blowing in a performance capacity.
So that's the one that's...
Don't
isolate
that.
Of fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Whoa.
No, I've never eaten fire. I actually don't know how. I've only blown fire, so I guess I have to go with that.
Yeah. Likewise. I mean, I may make the decision to learn how to eat fire, but that is a years
it has
away.
Has gotten you greater renown.
I'd say, yeah. It's amplified the small amount of renown I already had.
It is bigger and...
2 times 0 is still 0.
Yeah.
Ha! Take that.
Damn it, math.
Now, that having been said, the craft of fire breathing is something that can take many, many, many years of training and perfection, but... Even the most basic trick is going to get people to go ooh and ah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas fire eating is a lot more. It's a lot smaller and more personal. So you really it's harder for a larger group to see it even.
Yeah. Although by association with Vondazi during the record setting.
Mm-hmm.
For
Brett, yes, eating has Brett, definitely earned him greater renown.
Definitely gotten him greater renown.
Mm-hmm.
True.
But yeah, I mean, that's the world in which we live, you know. A juggler can do all these weird body rolls and three up, you know, pirouettes and all these crazy shit going on with juggling, but what people really want to see is you throw one club really, really high in the air and then catch it back into a juggling pattern.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes it's the simple big stuff that the audience wants to see, so it's the way of the world. Question number four: drinking or walking?
Yes, drinking.
Wood. Which is the better Ren Faire keepsake, a walking stick or a mug?
Mug. Mug is the functional piece of equipment that you can't do fest without a mug. You just can't do it.
Although. My shovel was my walking stick this year.
Yeah, you had a good shovel.
When I did Netty, I had that oar, and as a prop, that oar was amazing.
Yeah.
There is something about that. But
even though you have that...
But yeah, for a keepsake. Our mugs will get more use during the year.
I have a huge collection of festival mugs.
My Levine mug with the eagle on it is going to be one of my most prized... If not my most prized possession... sorry, Kirsten.
Possession.
Wow. So. I'm sorry, are we back in the 50s?
I thought it would be, you know,
I cost a little bit more than $20 and 3 goats. Thank you.
Also a chicken.
That's right.
Yeah.
Depends on how generous we're feeling that day. But that Levine mug, I know if I take even halfway decent care of that thing, I'm going to end up using it for the next 10 years.
No eggs for no eggs.
You know?
A mug is just invaluable.
Exactly.
My dowry is fucked.
Because you can measure how well you're hydrating yourself based on, like, simple science and measurements and stuff. And my brain used to work.
Nope.
All right. Hey, what's five?
Number five is beating or healing?
Beating.
Healing.
Heart. In an emergency, which would you be better at helping a friend's heart to do? Would you help it beat or help it heal?
Beat. Because CPR.
I'm training CPR and AED usage, so I could definitely do that with more confidence.
I think I would have to agree, just because I'm not good with feelings.
Helping
it beat is like, you know, boom, boom. And helping it heal is like, hey, buddy.
Then I gotta go to heal. I thought it was dump a bunch of Purell on it or something.
I will always be there for a friend in those times of need, but I'm that kind of guy who's just like, they're there.
Yeah.
You want a drink?
yeah. I can fix you a drink.
It's not that I don't care. It's just I don't know what I'm like. I don't know what to say right now.
Yeah. No, I would stick with healing hey, look, the dudes across the way are like beating, and the chicks over here are like healing. It's like society has primed us for this.
Well, this past weekend, I was on my way to one of my shows, and I went backstage, and I saw this girl having a panic attack, like, off in the corner. No one could really notice. She went to go, like, hide and, we've all been there. Yeah. And my first instinct is, well, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to go over and make her dirty because I'm going to give her a hug. And, you know, sat with her for, like, 30 minutes, and it was a little late to my show because... That's just my instinct is, you can't have a bad day. It's last weekend. I'm going to make your day not bad.
Yeah. There's all sorts of subtlety and nuance, and, you know, you could easily say the wrong thing while meaning well in an attempt to try and heal somebody else. And
you've never done that before.
Exactly. I've never made somebody worse by what I've said, even though it was well-intentioned. You know,
as someone with Asperger's, I have no idea what that's
exactly,
like.
Right? But
I am one of those people that a lot of other people will go to and be like, I'm having this emotional crisis. And I'm like, well, this. And they're like, okay. I'm like,
I feel better.
Yay. You have superpower.
Bonus question.
Bonus. Bonus. Yeah, he said bonus.
Listening or casting?
Listening.
And this is pretty great. Metal. Which is a more badass pastime?
Oh.
Going to death metal concerts or smithing?
Smithing.
Casting is...
Yeah, smithing.
Definitely way
whatever.
You can listen to metal while you smith.
I know!
You have the best of both worlds. You have the literal metal.
However,
figurative.
You cannot mosh while casting. That would be very dangerous.
Oh my god.
I enjoy mosh pits.
Going to a metal concert, dime a dozen people, whatever.
No, actually, usually a metal concert's around $20 to $30.
Well, but you buy a ticket, you walk in, whatever. Smithing, that shit takes skill. That takes shit takes passion.
Learning.
And it's it doesn't matter who you are. You're like three levels higher in the sexiness scale if you can do that. Just straight up. Yeah.
I have never met a smith who's.
Let's find out. I'll learn, and we'll find out. Okay. Yeah, I'll have a hammer.
Had a hammer.
No, a smith's biceps are just huge. Okay. End of story.
That's very true.
Oh, I have a thing for biceps and shoulders.
Jenna, do you need a cigarette?
Yeah, I do.
Outro. Be well and congratulations on being award-winning podcasters.
Oh my god, we have an award-winning podcast.
We do have an award-winning podcast. Our awards have nothing to do with podcasting, but we are all award winners.
Yes.
You take that. If you can get that, you take that.
That's right.
Yeah,
that does count.
Also
my unicorn. Whatever.
Also.
Yeah, but you got that before.
Happy birthday, Jenna. Congratulations on being another year young.
What time is it?
Parentheses. Congratulations on being another year young. Parentheses. It's a pun on your last name.
Get it.
And jokes are funnier when you explain them.
Yes.
Close parentheses.
God damn it, James. should we sing the birthday song?
No, that was a fantastic Fast Five. Thank you so very much, James, for sending those in. If you have a Fast Five, please send those to Matt@AONpodcast.com. Send them in two separate emails, the first one labeled as questions and the second one labeled as answers. And please, in the second one, also put the context in there, the question before the context. That way we don't have to bounce back and forth between the emails. It is getting really fucking late, and this is getting really long because we talked about Fest forever, so we're going to get the hell out of here. Yep. Thank you so very, very much for being our guests, Cap and Kirk. Yeah. And we are going to miss you. A whole shit.
Oh God, I'm not gonna cry.
Gotta miss you a lot.
I cried way too much on Sunday.
Theater community in Minnesota is going to be slightly less because you are gone, and that is a crying shame. And we look forward to seeing you guys again.
Well,
but it is not
guys
all
also
lost.
Said something nice.
If you guys want to hear more of Trailer, you can listen to him at.
SoundCloud.com/FightCastPodcast. Our website's recently got hacked, so I do not have a physical website at the moment, but it is still on SoundCloud.
It's a work in progress.
SoundCloud does not put file size limits on there, so I can upload as long episodes as I want. I got some in the works, and they're going to be great, I promise you. And while I have this opportunity, I just want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you, all three of you. If you guys had not given me a chance when you did, I would not be a member of this theater community, and I might not have met you, Kirsten. So I owe you all a debt of gratitude, and I'm going to stop being sappy and shit.
You're welcome, fucker.
Emotional week.
That has been our show. Hopefully what that means is in the future we're going to stop talking about Fest quite so fucking much and start talking about other shit again.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have just
until August rolls back around.
So for those of you who have been sitting around going, I can't fucking wait till that shit's done.
Yep.
Guess what, motherfuckers? We're back!
I can start talking about the Twin Cities Horror Fest.
Indeed.
I'm going to be doing that.
All right.
Full of Andrew Bennett locals.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the podcast.
Eat
go
the fucking
get
cake.
Yourself a True Stone coffee and eat the fucking cake.
Eat the fucking cake.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.